Good afternoon. I would like 21 cakes that read Frasier Reunion 2010.
Isn't it Frasier?
No, it's Frasier. And I should know, I'm Frasier.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast whose husband is secretly living in your basement. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and with me today are Don Seven Seas Ames.
Yar, I'm coming for that booty.
Kevin Galaxy Quester Corlett.
By Grabthar's Hammer. How's everybody doing?
And Kate North Haverbrook Hodges.
With stops at Brockaway, Ogdenville, and your defeat.
Big hello to everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's match. It's the third elimination match in the Oceanic Airlines division, and our last regular season match before the playoffs. Helping me out with this momentous endeavor today will be Scoremaster Dan. Hi, Dan.
You know, Dave said we were going to get some severe weather in here, so we got the booth all ready. It is now completely watertight, airtight, nothing's going to get in here, and I can't foresee any problems arising.
We'll keep us updated on your safety as well as the scores. And working in those boards today is Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
My dear man, that's terribly old-fashioned. You must know something more obscure than that.
All right, we've got three rounds of trivia to test your pop culture knowledge today, and we're going to start it all off with a round of My Champion. Each of our contestants has chosen a character from pop culture to be their champion. The catch, we choose the battle that they're fighting. Don, who is your champion today?
From the classic Monkey Island video games, Guybrush Threepwood, Mighty Pirate.
Kevin, who have you chosen as your champion?
Proprietor of the Gem Saloon in Deadwood, Mr. Al Swearingen.
And Kate, who is the champion in your corner?
Hi, I'm Troy McClure.
All right, champions are locked in. For today, our players' arguments will be at the mercy of Judge Dan. Knowing all of that, let's spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario, why would your champion be the best paperboy? Don, why would Guybrush Threepwood of Monkey Island be the best paperboy?
Two reasons. First reason is three words, long range delivery. Definitely accessing those cannons on the pirate ship, cramming those papers into there and firing them off the shore. Second is definitely the access to monkeys that he has. You can just enlist an army of monkeys delivering all those papers pretty quickly. So I think Guybrush is going to make a pretty dang good delivery boy.
And Kate, why would Troy McClure from The Simpsons be the best paper boy?
Well, you might know Troy McClure from such movies as The Bootjacking of Supership 79 and Lead Paint, Delicious But Deadly. So I think his film set experience would make sure that his deliveries would be on time and delivered with charm.
Thank you, Kate. And let's hear Kevin's case for Deadwood's Al Swearingen's career as a paperboy.
He's just cutthroat enough to make sure it works. He will get that paper in that box every time. Doesn't matter if there's an old man or a dog or a milk truck or what have you.
Thank you, Kevin. Great arguments all around, but the final decision is going to go to Dan. Dan, who is our paperboy champion?
You know, as much as I love the idea of a cutthroat paperboy who will let nothing get in his way, I think we have to give the win in this one to Don. I think Guybrush Threepwood would make a fantastic paperboy, although I'm a little worried about the cannon fire that's going to come at my house on Sunday mornings.
Right on. Don, you have won My Champion, which means you not only go first in round one, but you also get a crack at the half point. If the game is close at the end, having the half point could mean the difference between you winning and losing. Here is your half point question. September 14th, 1987 saw the largest single edition of a newspaper ever, a Sunday New York Times that weighed in at 12 pounds. But the best journalists in movie history are from 1976's All the President's Men. Who played the two lead journalists in that film, and which real-life journalist did each of them play?
Okay, so we've got Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford, and they are playing Woodward and Bernstein.
We need to know exactly which played which.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Okay, I'm going to say Hoffman played Woodward and Redford played Bernstein.
Ah, you had it reversed. I had almost all the information, but it's no half point for Don. You'll still get to lead off in round one, but before that, let's get to know all of today's players by learning a bit more about their pop culture likes, dislikes, dreams, and hot takes. First, we have Kevin Corlett. Welcome, Kevin.
Good to be here.
Kevin, what is your ideal TV crossover event?
I always thought it'd be really cool to see MacGyver go on Taskmaster. Just because they have all those things in that shed, like that wheelbarrow, and he could really, really use the whole buffalo on that.
Great answer. Thanks for being here, Kevin, and good luck in today's game. Also joining us today is Don Ames. Hi there, Don.
Hello, everyone.
Don, what is your biggest pet peeve in the world of pop culture?
It's definitely when marketing utilizes its blank meets blank when they're trying to pitch something. It always seems way too unrealistic, and they use really extreme opposites of things. It's Anne of Green Gables meets Mad Max Fury Road.
Awesome. It's going to bother all of us from now on. Thank you, Don. And filling out our lineup today is Kate Hodges. Welcome to the show, Kate.
It's good to be here.
Kate, if you could add any category to the Academy Awards, what Oscar would you add?
It would definitely be an Oscar for the best credits. There are so many amazing credits that come through on animated films like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs or Into the Spider-Verse. They're just so amazing, and they do such an interesting job of ending the movie. And I would love to see that celebrated at the Oscars.
Great answer. Thanks, Kate. Well, welcome again to everyone, and good luck to you all. It's time for round one. Consider the alternative. We all remember the main characters and their story arcs from our favorite TV shows, but what if we considered the story from the perspectives of the secondary characters? In this game, I'll describe a popular TV show, but centering the story around one of its supporting characters rather than the main one. All you have to do is name the show. For instance, if I described a show as the story of a coffee shop manager in New York City who pines after a waitress but has to watch all the ups and downs of her and her five pals from behind the counter at Central Perk, you'd know that the show in question was...
Friends.
Friends indeed. If you want some help, I can give you a hint in the form of the network the show aired on, as well as the years it aired. 10 points for a correct answer right away, and 5 points after a hint. Don, as the winner of My Champion, you get to lead off this round. Your first alternate perspective is... A boy with a physical disability bides his time for the moment he can fill the power vacuum left by his cousin brother and that cousin brother's mad aunt.
Cousin brother and mad aunt. I'll take the hint.
The show aired on HBO from 2011 to 2019.
Is it? Oh, I have no idea. Pass.
Looks like Kate knows this one.
It's Game of Thrones.
Oh,
Game of Thrones, because Jon Snow is Bran's cousin and his brother, sort of at the same time.
All right, this is going to be a bad game.
We'll see.
All right, Kevin. While on a long mission, a by-the-book second-in-command tries in vain to use reason to restrain his superior officer's recklessness and philandering.
Gotta be Star Trek.
Star Trek, the original series, focusing on Spock.
Next Generation, it was actually kind of inverse.
Oh, there you go. All right, Kate, your first alternate description is, a family man relies on his faith to try and stay positive, even as his loudish neighbors steal from him, mock his children, and kill his wife in a freak shirt-related accident.
Oh my gosh. What was the beginning part of that again?
A family man relies on faith to try and stay positive, even as his loudish neighbors steal from him, mock his children, and kill his wife in a freak shirt-related accident.
A freak shirt-related accident. Can I get the hint?
It aired on Fox from 1989 to the present.
Yeah, that doesn't help me at all. I'll pass. Don knows it. And Kevin.
The Simpsons.
Oh, God.
from the lady who picked Troy McClure to be her champion, she missed the Simpsons question.
To the present, I should have known. Fox, 89 to the present. Good Lord.
Did you think it was Meet the
Sometimes
Press?
Sometimes it's hard. Your brain doesn't work.
No one acknowledges the recent Simpsons episodes as still being active. So
exactly. That's really they don't exist.
I was even a mod on that show. Thank you very much. That's pretty bad.
All right, Don, see if you can get this one. The landlord of a building that is definitely not a tugboat does everything in her power to stop the evils of gentrification from settling in on her beloved neighborhood.
I'm thinking this is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, with Lillian centered there. Nice pull, Don.
Woo.
Coming back to Kevin. Years later, a man reconnects romantically with the woman he impregnated as a teenager and emotionally with a daughter he never really knew. Things are looking great until she dumps him for the salty small-town businessman.
I'm going to need my hint.
It aired on the WB and the CW from 2000 to 2007.
Is that Buffy?
Buffy went WB to UPN. I think Kate knows this one, though.
I'm pretty sure it's Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls, indeed. This next one is for Kate. A surgeon leaves medicine and takes a job helping addicts stay sober, but when a wealthy foreigner hires her to watch his son, she's sucked into his world of crime.
Thinking of the wealthy man and the son sucked into a world of crime. Oh my gosh.
Need an answer.
I have no idea. Pass. Sorry.
That wealthy man is Sherlock Holmes, as played by Johnny Lee Miller on Elementary.
I've never watched Elementary.
With Lucy Liu as that surgeon, Dr. Joan Watson.
Such a, that's a gap.
All right, Don. Humiliation never ends when a nebbishy dentist is divorced by his wife, gets only partial custody of his young son, and has to move in with his drunken brother.
Oh, I'm guessing that's Two and a Half Men. There we go.
Absolutely. John Cryer on Two and a Half Men. Coming back to Kevin, an FBI agent struggling with PTSD slowly comes to realize that his seemingly friendly neighbors are the criminals he's been chasing for years.
The Americans.
Yes.
Yes, very good. FX is The Americans. Kate?
And here we go.
A corporate exec is trying to move up the ranks and out of network television, but the cast of one low-rated show requires all of his attention.
Okay, this is going to be a wild guess, but I'm going to go with Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Terrible show!
It's the other one. If it's not Studio 60, it must be
Newsroom?
30 Rock.
Oh, 30 Rock.
30 Rock.
If it's not, yes, what a comparison. Those shows are so alike.
All right. Well, on that, let's go to a first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
At this point in the game, Kate has yet to get on the board, but, you know, we're all pulling for her. Kevin and Don are tied with 20.
Seems like a great game so far. Don, this next one's for you. A young man tries to maintain his morality after his old teacher pulls him into a series of increasingly criminal enterprises.
Old teacher, increasingly criminal enterprises. Oh, man. I'm going to have to say Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Nice pull. Kevin, a retired cop, injured on the job, has to deal with one snobbish son and stand by while his other son, who's already married, hits on his physical therapist.
Frasier.
It's Frasier, and I should know, I'm Frasier.
That is absolutely my favorite quote from 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah. All right, Kate, this next one's for you. A formerly incarcerated politician struggles to get his life and career back on track, but his wife just keeps on putting up complications, both legal and romantic.
Formerly incarcerated politician. The Good Wife?
The Good Wife, indeed. Very good.
On the board.
All right, Don. Estranged from his wife, a doctor in the Pacific Northwest hooks up with a young woman, only to find out that she's one of his new students. Complications ensue.
Doctor hooks up with in the Pacific Northwest. I'm going to have to take the hint on that one.
It's on ABC from 2005 to the present.
To the present? Doctor hooking up with current student. I don't know. Grey's Anatomy?
Okay, there we go. What other show's going to run that long on ABC? All right, Kevin, your last one of the round. An immortal being decides to try something new, but his bosses and the four humans he's forced to work with just won't cooperate.
That's going to be The Good Place.
Michael on The Good Place. Nice job. And Kate. A mother working minimum wage to make ends meet tries to keep her son safe, even as his friends and a series of government conspiracies put him in danger.
Oh God, what's the name of that show? Is that the Amy Acker one?
Anything else in there sounding familiar, Kate?
No. Where is it? Give me the hint. Let me have the hint.
Your hint is it's a Netflix series running from 2016 to the present.
Stranger Things.
That's how you use the hint. And on that positive note for Kate, we'll wrap up round one. Coming up next is a score update from Dan, and on to round two of Pop Culture Trivia.
After one round of play, it's time for the sand score break. Sand. It's coarse, it's rough, and it gets everywhere. Kevin has 40 points, Don is close behind with 35, and Kate, after having a little trouble at the start of round one, now has 15 points, which means she'll be going first in round two.
Thank you, Scoremaster Dan. Still lots of game to go, and we've got a little bit of extra help coming to our third place contestant. It's the Threequalizer. Kate, we've got a quick chance for you to make up some ground with our Threequalizer question. I'll give you a question that has exactly three answers, and you'll have three guesses to match as many of those answers as possible, with 10 points to you for each answer you match. Your Threequalizer question is, the three lowest-grossing Oscar Best Picture winners of the last 20 years combined earned less than $100 million at the U.S. box office. What are they?
Best pictures. Okay, the three lowest grossing best pictures. I'm going to say Moonlight is one. Here's where my best picture knowledge goes south. I don't know. Parasite, maybe?
One more guess.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
The other answers we're looking there. The lowest grossing was The Hurt Locker with $17 million.
Oh, really? Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the other was Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, with $42 million. You do still get 10 points for guessing Moonlight, which earned $27 million.
Great.
And we're going to stick with guessing about the worst of the best in round two, entitled Aim Low, Score High. In Aim Low, Score High, the goal is to thread the needle between a correct answer and a bad answer. You'll each take a turn naming a movie from the IMDb Top 100 that fits certain criteria, and the player who names the movie that's furthest away from number one while still being in the Top 100 will get the points. Here's how that plays out. If I said movies directed by Steven Spielberg, Dan could name one first and could say
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And then if I joined in on the guessing, I would say Saving Private Ryan. And then Dave could guess
1941.
So in this case, Dan gave the best answer with the lowest-ranked movie on the list, Raiders, which is 71. 10 points. I named the second-lowest-ranked movie on the list, Saving Private Ryan, at 24. 5 points for that. And Dave's answer was not on the list at all, so he would get 0 points. Schindler's List was the top-ranking movie at number 7, and in this case would have been 0 points if guessed. If no one comes up with a movie that's on the list at all, there won't be any points awarded. Keep in mind, folks, that this is IMDb, and it's based on user reviews. So there's a lot of classics in there, but also a lot of recent releases that might not stand the test of time. Kate, you'll lead us off in Aim Low, Score High by guessing one of the four movies in the IMDb Top 100 that stars Morgan Freeman.
Ugh, Shawshank Redemption?
Don, your guess?
I'll go with 7.
And Kevin?
Trying to remember any other movie with... I'm going to go with Bruce Almighty.
No one's going to get 10 points, which would have been The Dark Knight Rises at 61, but Don will pick up 5 points for guessing 7, which was number 27. The Shawshank Redemption is number 1, no points, and Bruce Almighty, sadly, not on the list.
What a travesty.
Robbed.
Don, you'll lead off this next one for movies directed by Stanley Kubrick.
Ooh, all right. I will say Full Metal Jacket.
Kevin?
Clockwork Orange.
And Kate?
I'm going to go with Eyes Wide Shut.
Well, Clockwork Orange and Eyes Wide Shut aren't in the IMDb Top 100, but Full Metal Jacket clocks in right at number 100, so another 10 points for Don.
Oof.
Crushing it.
Kevin gets first crack at our next category. It's Marvel or DC superhero movies.
Okay, I'm going to go with Batman Begins.
Kate?
I'm going to go with Doctor Strange.
And Don.
Okay, Kevin's got a good one. I'm going to guess Avengers Infinity War.
Kate and Kevin's guesses didn't make the IMDb Top 100, but Avengers Infinity War is number 58, earning Don 5 more points. Dark Knight Rises, once again, would have been the number one answer.
Don's just killing it out here.
Truly. Kate, the first guess comes back to you. You're going for Charlie Chaplin movies.
Okay, I'm going to say Chaplin.
Don?
I think I will go with Gold Rush.
And Kevin?
The only Charlie Chaplin movie I can think of is The Great Dictator.
Well, Kevin crushed it on that one. Number one answer at number 80. He'll get 10 points. Neither of our other two guesses were on the list, so 10 points for Kevin. Next up, Don will lead us off in movie starring Brad Pitt.
Movie starring Brad Pitt. A little known actor. I am going to say 7 again.
Going with 7 again. Kevin?
We know exactly where 7 is from the prior question, but I've forgotten. I'm going to guess it is higher than Inglourious Basterds.
And Kate, what's your guess?
I'm going to go Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, sadly, Mr. and Mrs. Smith not on the list. But Kevin will pick up 5 points for Inglourious Basterds, which is there ahead of Snatch at 91. 7 is on the list, but isn't in those top 2. So no points for Don, but 5 points for Kevin. Kevin will then lead us off again for movies starring Matt Damon.
Good Will Hunting.
Kate?
I'm going to go with The Martian.
And Don.
Let's go with The Bourne Identity.
Kate and Don missed on this one. No Martian or Bourne Identity, but Good Will Hunting is 94 and the number one answer for this round. So 10 points for Kevin. Also on the list, we have The Departed, Saving Private Ryan, and Interstellar.
Good one.
Coming back to lead off with Kate again, you get the first guess on movies that IMDb categorizes as Westerns.
On the top 100, categorized as a Western. Let's go with A Few Dollars More.
Don, your guess?
I think I'll go with Unforgiven.
Ooh. And Kevin?
Oh, no. I was going to say Unforgiven. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, that was my other guess.
Well, the only one who guessed one on the list was Kevin with The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Oh! It's the highest ranked Western on the list, so no points in this round. The two answers that would have earned you points were Once Upon a Time in the West and Django Unchained.
Oh, Lord. Quentin getting us all.
Yeah.
Moral victory.
Yeah. All right, Don, you'll get first shot at movies featuring Robert De Niro.
Okay. I will say Taxi Driver.
All right. Kevin?
I'm going to go Raging Bull.
That was me.
And Kate?
King of Comedy.
Wow, three answers that are not in the IMDb Top 100 at all.
IMDb users are the worst.
Yeah. I know, people are terrible.
The ones who vote, at least.
Best possible answer here would have been Once Upon a Time in America, which is at number 69. You also could have gotten points for Joker, which clocks in at number 33.
Nobody gets points for Joker.
Again, moral victory.
That should be on the poster for Joker. Nobody gets points for Joker. All right, Kevin. You'll lead us off in guessing movies featuring Tom Hanks.
Okay. Big.
Kate?
Forrest Gump.
And Don?
Saving Private Ryan.
Ooh, he knows.
Kate and Don guess movies on the list that are 12 and 24, but the answers that would have gotten you points were Toy Story at 97 and Toy Story 3 at 87. But Tom Hanks is still a lovely note to leave us with as we pause for a score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Kate's been having a bit of a rough time in this round, too. She has 25 points. Don is up to 55 points. And Kevin is currently in the lead with 65.
Still a very close game. As we move into our next subcategory, it's going to be movies directed by Christopher Nolan. Kate, you get the first guess.
The Dark Knight.
Don.
Interstellar.
And Kevin.
I know they're not good. Memento. IMDb users don't like good movies, though.
Well, I would turn that frown upside down, Kevin, because you got the number one answer. Nice. 10 points for Memento, clocking in at 67. Again, The Dark Knight Rises rears its ugly head, could have gotten you 5 points. The Dark Knight and Interstellar on the list, but no points in this game. Coming back to Don, you can guess a movie featuring Jack Nicholson.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Kevin?
I'm going to play it safe with The Shining.
And Kate?
God, wasn't he in Michael Keaton's Batman?
Is that your answer?
I can't remember if it was just called Batman. I'm going to go with Batman.
That movie is called Batman, but it's sadly not on the list. Don guessed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is number 18, but not low enough to score in this game. However, The Shining is number 71, which will be 10 more points for Kevin. The other scoring answer that round would have been The Departed.
The Departed.
Kevin, you'll also get first crack at guessing a Disney or Pixar animated movie.
Toy Story 2.
Kate?
Toy Story 3.
And Don.
Oh, man. Do I dare go Toy Story 4? I will go with Up.
So sadly that Toy Story 2 and Up did not make the list. But if you had paid attention during the Tom Hanks question, you'd remember that Toy Story was 97. Number 1 point getting answer. But Kate will get 5 points for Toy Story 3 at 87.
I paid attention. I just forgot the number.
I didn't pay attention.
Now, Kate, we really get to dive into IMDb rankings recency bias with movies released in 2019.
It's so, guys, time is a construct, and I'm you know, 2019. When was that? 10 years ago?
That's real.
Avengers Endgame. Oh, I think no. That was last year.
Don?
I'll go Parasite.
And Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I'm struggling to think of a single movie released last year. Let's go with... The Star Wars Return of Skywalker?
Well, even if you got the title right with The Rise of Skywalker, it sadly does not crack that IMDb top 100.
No, thank God.
Parasite is number 20, which is great for Parasite, but no points in this game. Avengers Endgame 57, just outside the realm of points for this game. Oh. We would have accepted for 5 points, 1917, the World War I movie, and for 10 points, ranked at number 83, a Bollywood movie called Uri, the Surgical Strike.
Yes, I watched that so many times.
I've got that on Blu-ray. Why didn't I think of that?
Coming in for our last couple categories, Don will lead us off guessing movies featuring Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay. I will go with The Departed.
Kevin?
Titanic.
And Kate?
The Revenant.
Sadly, Titanic and The Revenant do not crack that top 100, but Don will pick up 5 points for The Departed at number 37. Number one answer there would have been Django Unchained at number 60.
That's right.
And our very last subcategory of movies to guess is movies set during World War II. Kevin will lead us off.
Dear. I know Saving Private Ryan is on that list, but it's relatively high. There's got to be a better movie to pick that's more obscure. Nah, it's going to be Saving Private Ryan.
All right, Kate?
World War II, the Imitation Game with the code cracking,
And Don, last guess,
You see, paying attention to this, I'm now just kind of stuck in World War One, so I'm trying to think of World War II movies. Was Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
And Don will finish with 10 points for Inglourious Bastards,
nice.
Which is ranked 90 on the list. The other point getter would have been number 50 is Casablanca. Saving Private Ryan, as we said, is on the list, but not in a place to get you points for this game.
Ooh.
Still, a lot of fun movies mentioned today, and a great way to close out round two. Coming up next is one more score break from Dan, and then it's on to round three.
After two rounds of play, it's time for the Adrian Pazdar score break. Looking for any modicum of goodwill from the public? So is Adrian Pazdar. Kevin goes into round three with 85 points. Don has 70 points. Kate is lagging behind with 30. That means she'll go first in round three, and she'll need to get 6 questions correct in order to take the lead.
Thanks for that update, Dan. Those standings, however, are not yet set in stone, because it's time for everyone's last opportunity for big points. It's the lightning round. Players will have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You'll earn 10 points for each correct answer you provide. Today's categories are Bored to Tears, When Jack Was Back, A Whopper of a Category, and I Brought the First Cow. And while the names of those topics are a little bit mysterious, do your best to choose something that you're going to do well on, or perhaps try to keep something easy from a fellow player. Kate, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are Bored to Tears, When Jack Was Back, A Whopper of a Category, and I Brought the First Cow.
Ooh, First Cow is probably going to be movies. And Bored to Tears is probably board games. Oh, I don't know why I'm telling you. I'm going to go with Bored to Tears.
Well, I'll try not to be a total bore, but I will be a total bore, as in a male pig, when you're answering questions about pigs, the animal, in popular culture.
Okay. Love it.
All right, 90 seconds on the clock. The time starts when I finish reading the first question. Kate, are you ready?
I'm ready.
In George Orwell's Animal Farm, Napoleon the Pig stands in for this Russian dictator.
Pass.
The Beatles sing about piggies rolling in the dirt on this album.
The White Album.
This Mad Max Helmer took Babe to the city.
Pass.
Disney received protest for omitting this character from their first animated Winnie the Pooh short.
Piglet.
This starship transports the pigs in space on The Muppet Show.
I can't remember. Pass.
Pigma Dengar is a secondary antagonist in this series of interstellar Nintendo games.
Pass.
This pig is described by Charlotte as terrific, radiant, and humble.
Oh my god, I can't remember his name. Pass.
An album cover for this band features an inflatable pig over the Battersea Power Station.
Pink Floyd.
Rapper Iggy Azalea feuded with this animated pig in 2019.
Miss Piggy.
Peppa Pig. This comedian voices the porcine Spider Ham in Into the Spider-Verse.
John Mulaney.
Green pigs serve as antagonists in this series of mobile games.
Angry Birds.
This children's author gives the wolf's perspective in The True Story of the Three Little Pigs.
I love that book. Can't remember the author. Pass.
This witch transforms men into pigs in The Odyssey. Answer there would have been Circe.
Circe.
Dan, hit us with the Kate report.
So Kate has quite a few passes here. Napoleon the Pig was a stand-in for Joseph Stalin. George Miller is the director of both the Mad Max movies and Babe Pig in the City. The Swine Trek is the spaceship on The Muppet Show. Pigma Dengar is an antagonist in Star Fox. And Wilbur is the little pig who is terrific, radiant, and humble. The author of The True Story of the Three Little Pigs is, I'm going to butcher this, John Sheska.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You nailed it.
Still, even with all those passes, Kate was able to get 5 correct answers in her category. That gives her a total of 80 points and puts her into second place, but she's still just behind Kevin, who has 85. That means Don is up next, and he'll need to get just 2 correct answers to take the lead away from Kevin.
All right, Don. Your remaining lightning round options are When Jack Was Back, A Whopper of a Category, and I Brought the First Cow.
I'm going to try the category I Brought the First Cow.
Well, First Cow is a 2020 movie about the first cow to be brought to North America, but let's also consider who brought First Cow the movie to the world, namely indie film distributor A24. So you'll be answering questions about movies distributed by A24.
All right, here we go.
90 seconds on the clock. Don, are you ready?
I will be as ready as I will ever be.
Colin Farrell has a complicated relationship with monogamy in this dark comedy.
The Lobster?
Greta Gerwig became the 5th ever female Best Director Oscar nominee for this movie.
Lady Bird.
This British star plays a farting corpse in Swiss Army Man.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Adam Sandler co-stars with this NBA player in Uncut Gems.
Kevin Garnett.
This Oscar host helped manage the initial confusion over Moonlight's Best Picture win.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Awkwafina gets serious in this film adapted from a This American Life story.
Midsummer?
The Farewell. The title character in Lean on Pete is this type of animal.
Pass.
Mid-90s is the directorial debut of this comic actor.
Jonah Hill.
In First Reformed, Ethan Hawke drinks a cocktail of whiskey and this.
Pass.
Ari Aster followed up Hereditary with this Scandinavia-set horror flick.
Pass.
Julianne Moore stars as the title role in this remake of a Chilean film.
Pass.
Director Bo Burnham tackled early adolescence in this 2018 movie.
Pass.
James Franco has Scarface on repeat in this vacation flick.
On this vacation flick. Pass.
Rooney Mara eats a whole one of these on camera in A Ghost Story. Talking there about the infamous scene in which she eats a whole vegan chocolate pie in one take. All right, Dan, give us the Don Report.
Well, these A24 movies can be a little bit obscure, so it's understandable that Don would have missed a couple of these. Lean on Pete? Well, Pete is a horse. The In First Reformed, Ethan Hawke drinks a cocktail of whiskey and Pepto-Bismol. Now, Don actually mentioned this movie earlier. It's Midsummer that's Ari Aster's follow-up to Hereditary. Gloria Bell is the movie that stars Julianne Moore. Bo Burnham's take on early adolescence is Eighth Grade. James Franco has Scarface on repeat in Spring Breakers. Still, Don got 6 questions correct, and that means we have a game on our hands. He now has 130 points. Kevin has 85. That means Kevin will need to get at least 5 correct if he wants to take the lead back.
All right, Kevin, your remaining category choices are When Jack Was Back and A Whopper of a Category.
Gotta go with When Jack Was Back.
Jack is Back is the tagline for Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest, which was released in the summer of 2006. So you'll be answering questions about the pop culture happenings of the year 2006. 90 seconds on the clock. Kevin, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Forrest Whitaker stars as this Ugandan dictator in The Last King of Scotland.
Idi Amin.
The billionth song downloaded on iTunes was Speed of Sound by this band.
U2.
Coldplay. Martin Scorsese finally wins an Oscar for this remake of a Hong Kong cop drama.
The Departed.
Hugo Weaving wears a Guy Fawkes mask in this graphic novel adaptation.
It's the Alan Moore, V for Vendetta.
John O'Hurley replaces Richard Karn as the host of this game show.
Family Feud.
This Felicity and Alias creator jumps to film to direct Mission Impossible 3.
J.J. Abrams.
High School Musical premieres on Disney Channel, propelling the career of this Neighbors actor.
Pass.
This Aaron Sorkin show premieres on NBC by teasing us about the Crazy Christians sketch.
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock reunite for this time travel romance.
The Time Traveler's Wife?
The Lake House. this reality competition cooking show premieres on Bravo?
Top Chef.
She leaves the Today Show after 15 years.
Kelly Ripa.
Katie Couric. CBS broadcast the 15,000th episode of this once inspirational daytime soap.
The Bold and the Beautiful.
Guiding Light was the answer we were looking for there. Still a few right answers in there, so Dan, give us the Kevin report.
So Kevin only had one pass. Zac Efron was the star of High School Musical, who then went on to star in Neighbors. Kevin did get 7 correct, though, and that means that our final standings are Kate with 80 points, Don with 130 points, and our winner with a total of 155 points is Kevin.
Kevin.
Woo! Yes. Nice job.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Well, big congratulations to Kevin today, but that does mean that we've reached the end for Kate. We hope you had as much fun playing as we had with you. We dove into that IMDb Top 100 today, so before you go, tell us what superhero movie would you take out of the IMDb Top 100 if you could? Joker, The Dark Knight Rises, or Avengers Infinity War?
Oh, that's a tough one, but Joker for sure.
This host very much agrees with you. Thanks, Kate. This also means that it's time for Don to say goodbye. Don, you put up a great fight, and we will miss you in the playoffs. But since you were so game for your A24 questions, before you go, you have to tell us which upcoming A24 release you're most excited about. Is it the Arthurian Legend adaptation starring Dev Patel, or the road trip comedy based off a Twitter thread?
After my performance in the last round there, I will say none of them. A24 is dead to me.
Line in the sand. Great way to go out. Thanks again, Don. But the biggest congratulations of all go to our winner, Kevin. Kevin, you'll be moving on to the Oceanic Airlines Division Finals. The competition's going to be tougher and the stakes will be higher. So how are you going to get yourself ready for your triumphant, hopefully, return?
I don't know. Drink a lot?
There's never been a better answer than that. Thank you, Kevin. And listeners, be sure to follow Kevin as the rocket ship emoji as he continues on through the season bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week, but be sure to join us next week for the Sabor de Soledad Division Finals, featuring returning champions Derek Quizcat Martz, Anna Bananastand Campercero, and Bobby Jersey Blockbuster Krutt. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
All right, the regular season and this episode is over, but we are not done with the questions. It is time for our at-home version riddle. Correctly answer the following pop culture riddle before the next episode hits, and you could win fabulous Score Break naming rights.
When you get here, you might feel a bit apprehensive. You've confused it with somewhere that's much more expensive. With dead fish and no child care, this place isn't suave. But there's family and heart in these walls that are mauve.
Think you know what that's about? Submit your answer on the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com. While you're there, apply to be a contestant for a future season if you're feeling game. Also check out season brackets, links to subscribe to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show wherever you get your podcasts, and show notes for all our episodes, especially this episode where you can find the IMDb Top 100 list to help play along and see what our players missed in today's round 2.
You can also validate our existence by following us on Instagram and Twitter. On both, we're at USA Quiz Show.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is assembled with cold efficiency by our Quizmaster, Dan Cassino, our host, Taylor Cole, and production master, me, David T. Cole.
Remember to subscribe, and we'll see you next week for our playoffs.
One last long grift, huh? Okay, I'm in. But one rule. Anybody gets hurt during the score, we leave them behind to die. Now, who are you and what are we doing?